First Thessalonians 3, if I were going to title my sermon this morning, and I don't know why sometimes I want to do that, but I would entitle my sermon this morning, I think, Three Functions of Pastoral Ministry. Do God's people need pastoral ministry? Brother James has been telling us how we need to be trained, right? Now let's look what Paul says here, three functions of it, which are so powerful. I mean, I used to play football, and you may say, well, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. Till the ninth grade, and then the coaches drove me to distraction. I never could see it as the end of the world. But they thought it was the end of the world. But anyway, I gave it up. But I do remember, you know, you have to be trained to play football. You got to be trained to do nearly anything. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. You may remember Paul got ran out of Thessalonica, then he got run out of Berea, and then he wound up at Athens. And he stayed at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So he sent Timotheus back to Thessalonica. Y'all get the idea that Paul was a little concerned about the church at Thessalonica? Y'all do remember that the church at Thessalonica was in a hostile environment. Probably worse than the hostile environment our churches are in today, just to be honest about it. So, Paul said, I decided I'd be left at Athens alone, and I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. And I want to pause right here. Paul is not saying that God has determined and caused and predestinated that you suffer tribulation when you follow Christ. He is saying it's the nature of the beast. Remember what? This is, this is 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And that word shall there is just as sure as the shall in Matthew 1:21. I think sometimes this is why people don't follow Christ. They can't take the little dab of persecution we have to face. Brother James talking about what other people think. You think we don't think about what other people think? I sure do. I want to be thought well of. I want people to think I'm cool. That word's probably so outdated. I don't even know what the word is nowadays. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Please notice that when Paul was at Thessalonica, he did not delude them with a prosperity gospel. He didn't lie to them. He didn't tell the church at Thessalonica, all you got to do is follow Jesus, it's going to be a bed of roses. He wants you rich. No, he said, if you follow Christ, persecutions will arise. The degree to which they arise, I don't know. No person ever lived better than our Lord and Savior. And look what he went through. Oh, I don't want to be mean, but sometimes I wonder how First of all, are we willing to suffer for Christ? And think of how He suffered for us. You will never have to suffer like Christ did, because He suffered that for you. I ask you, should we not be willing to suffer a little bit while we live for Him? And also, I think I will say that whatever we suffer, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that which shall be revealed in us. Can you say amen? I think it's time we man up. That's rude. That's just rude. I know you ladies say, I don't want to man up. Well, in some ways, I don't blame you. Oh, you know, you ladies, I know I'm for you, right? Y'all ladies know, I think ladies are probably better than men most of the time. I guess there are exceptions to that, of course. Anyway, it's time for us to get with the program. How much does the kingdom of God mean to each of us? It is a great privilege. By the way, Brother James talking about church is not, we get to go to church. We have to go to church, but we get to. It's not a duty, but a privilege. And I remind you one more time, you know the difference between a duty and a privilege, right? Your attitude. Amen. Since Brother James brought this up, I'm going to blame all this on him. I wonder what would happen. This is rude. This is tough. Don't be mad at me. Listen to me. I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden everybody started attending here almost every Sunday consistently and didn't let things interrupt. What would happen here at Point Remove if that happened? What would happen if we got that serious about serving God? What would happen? Well, I don't know, but I'd like to find out. That's mean. Don't be mad. All right. Did I ever read verse 5? Did I? I did not? Okay. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear. Now he's reminding them when he was at Athens alone. They've been run out of Thessalonica. They've been run out of Berea. He's now in Athens thinking about the church at Thessalonica that's in hostile territory. And what does the church in Thessalonica need? What do they need? They need pastoral care. What does Paul do? For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So he sent Paul back to the church at Thessalonica. Now y'all remember, he established the church at Thessalonica. Paul was instrumental in establishing the church. Now he's been absented from them for a while. He's still concerned about them. What does he do? He sends Timothy over there to pastor the church. How important is it? Before I even list these three things that are here in this passage, the three functions of pastoral ministry, I want to say I know of churches right now that don't give a rip if they have a pastor or not. Did someone say why? What? Well, yeah, I know. What? You want to know part of why they don't like it? Because pastors get up in the pulpit and say, you should be here more than you are here. And you should take a hold and do more than you're doing. By the way, did you know Paul says that in every epistle? He's going to say that to the church of Thessalonica. The irony of a pastor is the ornery cuss, and I've actually been told this. The problem with you, brother pastor, is you're never satisfied. Yeah, Whitney's going, bong. You think it bonged Whitney, it bonged me. No pastor in his right mind will ever be satisfied or content with his own spirituality or the spirituality of the flock that he serves and loves more than any other. Can you understand? To ask him to be something other than that is to ask him to cease being a pastor. So, you know, I was talking to Mike this morning. You know, we should be content with how much stuff we got and never be content with our spirituality. But notice how too frequently we are content with our spirituality and not with the amount of stuff that we have. Now, that's painful. That hurts me too, because I've always got books I want. And I'm already plotting on how I can get another Martin guitar that I do not need. And Becky says, you do not need that. You can only play one guitar at a time. Well, so, which is true. And I'm thankful you didn't say amen at that point in the sermon. Three functions of pastoral ministry as they are recorded in this passage, okay? The first one is in verse 2. Why did Paul send Timothy back to the church at Thessalonica? Why? To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That's purpose number one, right there. One of the purposes of gospel ministry, of pastoral service, is to establish the flock and to comfort them concerning their faith. Now, I think the word establish means, you know, to confirm or to settle you. Now, obviously, when he says the word establish here, he does not mean start the church off. The church had already been started off. He means to reestablish them, to confirm them, to settle them, you know, to continue to encourage them, to continue to teach them. Mike was telling me, my preaching is so great. He was bragging on my preaching. He said, I had somebody ask me Tuesday this past week what the sermon was about, and I couldn't remember. That's how great my preaching is. Well, guess what? Sometimes you ask me, and I couldn't remember either. You know what the point of all that is? We need to be reminded. How much is in the Bible about us being reminded all the time? Stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Putting you in remembrance of things you've been taught before. That's one reason why you need to be here every Sunday. I hope that'll convict some of you. Hope it'll convict me. To be reminded, to be established, to be confirmed. Notice what he says also there. To comfort you. You know what the word comfort means in the Bible more? It doesn't mean, oh, like we comfort a baby that's ill. Now, I like some of that too, don't you? I like some of that comfort like that. Every once in a while I say, Becky, you need to come over here and comfort me. Pat me on the head or something. I know you think I'm crazy. There's a reason for that. But all Becky's got to do is take my hand, pat me on the shoulder, and my angst and inner turmoil goes away to a large degree. But you know what the word comfort really means here? It means to strengthen. I'm going to ask you, do you feel like you need to be strengthened in your faith, or are you as strong as you need to be? I need to be strengthened in my faith. I get these phone calls from these preachers all the time, and they're asking me questions, and I'm asking them questions, and it means so much to me because I get strength from that. How inaccurate would it be for any of us to think we're as strong as we need to be in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? I worry all the time where I'm wrong. I got to be wrong, but I'd be dog if I can figure out where I am wrong. How egotistical is that? And I keep saying, Becky, help me, show me, these preachers, show me. Okay, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Here's what I want to ask you. Do you ask yourself, is what I believe true? Are we willing to ask ourselves that? Is what I believe biblical? Is what I believe in harmony with God's Word concerning eternal salvation and timely matters? Am I? Is my faith, the faith once delivered to the saints, is what I believe what was taught by Christ and the apostles? Are we willing to think in these terms? I hope so. I'm going to lovingly submit. There is nothing, I don't know, I just cannot think of anything more important to your well-being, your mental well-being, spiritual well-being. I would even go so far as to say what Solomon says, the health of your navel. You know what that means? Even your physical health. I don't know of anything more important to all those things than believing the truth of Jesus Christ, His successful work on the cross, and what we're supposed to be doing to honor Him for all that He's done for us. I cannot imagine anything that'll settle you. It'll strengthen you. Okay. That's purpose number one. Purpose number two is in verse 3. Second purpose or function of pastoral ministry. Again, what's going on here? Don't forget, these are the reasons Paul sent Timothy to the church at Thessalonica. Everybody understand? These are the reasons why he sent Timothy over there to the church. And therefore, I deduce that these are functions of pastoral ministry, according to Paul. I wonder, did he know? Did he have a clue? What do you mean? Verse 3. Function number two, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. When Paul was at the church at Thessalonica, he told them, if anybody's going to live godly, they're going to suffer persecution. No ifs, ands, or buts. You live godly in the year 2023, you're going to suffer some persecution. Stand. Make a stand for what Christ says concerning almost anything, and you're going to suffer some persecution of some kind. Now, it is not yet to the point where they, are putting me in jail. You know, I've not been run out of Russellville yet. That's kind of funny. I guess run me out of Russellville over to Danville. And then the mob come from Russellville to Danville and run me off. That hadn't happened yet. Are you with me? That's what happened in the first century. Hadn't happened yet. But you just make a stand for what Christ teaches concerning almost anything, and there you're going to get push back. You're gonna get people that look at you like you're weird. Amen. Just assert out loud, grace is free, and put a period there. Grace is not dependent upon or determined by what men do or don't do. It was totally, completely, 100% determined by what Christ did. and nope. Just get up on your hind legs and assert. No person Christ died for can possibly burn in hell, and see if you don't get some kickback. I'm not trying to be mean. Now here's the question. Here's the question. Is standing for truth important enough to us that we are willing to face the adversity that comes along with it? This is why Paul sent Timothy back to the church at Thessalonica, so that nobody there would be moved away from their faith, moved away from their dedication to the church, moved away from their absolute dedication to Christ, His Word, the church, each other, that they would not be moved away from that by any of the little pitiful afflictions that we have to endure while we live. Can you say amen? And automatically, when I was reading and thinking about this last week and this week, I couldn't help but think about that wonderful sermon that Brother Sonny preached on Job. And if you haven't heard it, get on the website, whatever, and listen to it. Because Job was not moved by what happened to him. I don't know of anybody even remotely associated with Point Remove that's ever been through what Job went through. And he was not moved by his afflictions. He didn't even accuse God incorrectly or sin with his lips. And I do it every day. All the last 3 days, I've been saying, okay, Lord, where's the rain? Have you? Maybe not. Lord, we need rain. Yesterday, the wind blew a little bit. Okay, Lord. How wicked of me. So, function number two. Function number one. Purpose of pastoral ministry? To establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. To strengthen your faith. To broaden and deepen your faith in God and Christ. To convince you more than ever that Christ did save His people from their sins, and He will not lose one. And to convince you also on the other side of that, the things that we are supposed to do in order to honor Him and reach out to others and save others from error and heartache and turmoil. Can you say amen? Second, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now, I do not think Paul means there that the afflictions don't bother you. Of course they're going to bother you. Who enjoys affliction? Have you ever noticed what people are waiting in line for nearly anything? You ever seen people waiting in line for anything? They just wait in line, hurry up and wait, hurry up to go get in line and wait. Y'all, I don't mean to be. If you did this, don't be offended. But you know, several years ago, all this Black Friday stuff, and people would camp out. I mean, they'd set up a tent up in Branson, set up a tent in front of, I can't even think of it. You know, Walmart or whatever. Set a tent up, camp in the parking lot for a day or two, so that they could get in the door at midnight for, y'all remember that? And then get in there and have a knockdown, drag out, fight, and bruise one another over a television set. Now, y'all remember that? Notice things people wait in line for. Where's the line that people are waiting in to learn more of our Lord and Savior? Are we willing to wait in line a little bit? Are we willing to... Are y'all listening to me? Think of how much... Now, don't misunderstand. I don't want to get over here Friday and see y'all set up a tent out here in front of the church house. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking, look at that. How the trouble people would go to get into Walmart at midnight and fight with somebody over a big screen TV. Well, y'all understand what I'm saying. Don't be moved by these afflictions. Don't be moved away. What matters? What really matters? What'll give you peace? What'll give you peace? If any of you hurried up to get to Black Friday, I don't mean to condemn you. You know, I'm just talking about priorities, okay? I am very thankful that Paul did not pull punches with the church at Thessalonica. He told them flat out, if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Get ready for it. I want to say one more thing before I move on. I heard a very smart man some time ago, and if I knew who this was, I would give credit where credit's due, say the following. The measure of a man is not what he accomplishes. The measure of a man is what it takes to stop him. What does it take to stop us from serving God? You know, we let little things stop us, don't we? The point of that is the real man doesn't let anything stop him. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Christ didn't let anything stop him. Paul didn't let things stop him from serving God. Okay? So, and y'all, I have no idea how bad the world's going to get. I keep hoping it'll get better. And I see some signs it might be getting better. I do. You know, I am not of the opinion that America must go bust and belly up. And I am certainly not of the opinion that the church has got to diminish. That is just bunk. Point and remove can grow. Do you believe that? In fact, I think I'm going so far as to say if you think that Point Remove must diminish, you might not be thinking straight. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I think Point Remove can grow. I think we can have great days ahead. Okay. And finally, the third function of pastoral ministry is at the very end of verse 5. Lest by some means... Why did Paul send Timothy to the church at Thessalonica when he was in Athens? Sent Timothy over there to pastor the church at Thessalonica. Why? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Now, he does not mean by that because if you don't stay with it, you're going to burn in hell. Absolutely 1,000 times not. What he means by that is, I sent Timothy over there to strengthen you, lest Satan tempt you to renege. Lest Satan tempt you to drift. Lest Satan tempt you to depart the faith, depart the church, and you think Satan isn't tempting people to do that? Y'all, Satan is going about seeking whom he may devour. He knows he cannot take one single heir of promise to burn in hell. He knows that, but he also knows that he can bait them and tempt them and get them to leave the security and the hedge and the fortress and the kingdom of the church of God. And if he can persuade God's children to leave that, he can cause them great discomfort and tribulation and pain and agony. Are you with me? That if they would stay here and continue to be strengthened in their faith, strengthened and comforted, encouraged and built up, then they might not be as likely to suffer those things. Are you with me? Did you know? I'd really rather preach on the atonement. In fact, pause. Open parenthesis. Here's something I was going to try to work into the sermon, which I'm not going to be able to work it in here, so I'm just going to put it in here. On the subject of the atonement. Eternal salvation is in no way a human achievement. It is in no way something we achieve as individuals by our human efforts. I was going to try to work that into the sermon, but I couldn't. That's what I'd rather preach about. And then also, let me follow up that. But your eternal salvation was the achievement of a human, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I need to preach on that sometime. Anyway, Satan is seeking whom he may devour. Satan knows your weak points. He knows my weak points. He knows the chink in your armor, doesn't he? Why did Paul send Timothy to pastor the church at Thessalonica? So that they would not be as likely to be tempted by the tempter and abandon their faith or the church of God. Can you say amen? So these are the three functions of pastoral ministry as they are listed here in these first five verses: to establish and comfort you concerning your faith, to strengthen your faith, so that you'll learn ever more about God and Christ. I've been studying the Bible with some degree of regularity for 35 plus years. Not bragging. And I know just enough to know I do not know very much. There's no bottom to the Bible. There's absolutely no end to the strength and comfort and might we can gain from what's contained in this book. No bottom, no end. And I'll ask you, how many of you are ready to take the GRE on theology? And I'm not ready either. Secondly, Paul sent Timothy to pastor the church at Thessalonica so that no man would be moved away from their faith by the afflictions that they suffer as Christians. Don't let how the whole world misunderstands you as a Christian make you say, well, it's not worth it. It absolutely is worth it. I don't care how much people don't understand this. If you understand what I'm saying. Okay, and finally, Paul sent Timothy to pastor the church at Thessalonica, lest by some means the tempter might have tempted them and his gospel labor be in vain. I appreciate you so much.